What's up, heroes? Welcome to episode 42 of the Producer Life podcast. I'm working on an amazing track right now with Sandra Bullitt, a terrific singer-songwriter from Portugal. This past weekend, I talked with Richard Wang from Sixth Street Music about the track, and he provided some really detailed feedback as part of a Producer Dojo mentoring session. The feedback was so good, I thought I'd share it with you guys in this podcast, and I consolidated everything into a concise format for you. If Richard Wang sounds familiar, he should. He was a guest on episodes 24 and 25, so go back and check those out. Since the last recording, he's released several new tracks, gotten engaged to his girlfriend Liz Besler, and they bought their first home, so it's awesome. In this episode, we talk about ways to help your kick punch through your mix, places to watch for buildup, his favorite magic plugins, and why he doesn't really trust his sidechains.
But I always go through, even with the, I don't trust my sidechains ever. I render down my sub, I look at the actual information, and then I will do my own manual cuts. Because usually it will have a little volume here. Like when you're, what you don't want is your transient to hit and you still have some sub info happening, right? The ideal situation is your transient hits, but the kick, it rides by itself, and then the sub swells up after the kick.
But first, cue the intro music. We started by talking about the kick, particularly at the chorus, which just wasn't punching through.
Would it be better to turn that up, or would it be better to, I've got most of the instrumental side chained, or just increase the side chain wetness?
Yeah, all of the above. So all of those way, like all of those techniques are to kind of help the kick really shine more in the mix. So increase the side chain, duck the other things out of the way of the kick. You might want to layer transient on that kick as well. So the initial hit of the kick really reads a little bit more. And then just turn up the kick quite a bit as well. Cool. Well, I'm listening. Go ahead.
Let me ask. I'm sorry. One more question. Would you just turn the volume up on the kick for the choruses where it's having trouble punching through, I assume, or you think the kick needs to come up throughout the track?
Especially the choruses. Let me hear the second verse here, and then I'll give you an answer after I listen to it.
Okay.
But the second verse, I'm thinking also the verses too. But let's hear the second verse here. That's the verse kick. Got it.
Yeah, well, it's filtered. It's the same kick, but it is high pass filtered, and then it opens up to kind of build.
I see. Okay, I got you. And I think part of it might also just be the shape of the kick, because the shape of the kick is inherently not a very punchy kick, because we have more of a like a bricked out kick. So the shape of the punchy kick is going to be more of a play button, where it's the loudest in the beginning here, it kind of tapers downwards, whereas this is quietest in the beginning of the kick, and the kind of like increases in volume, which gives you more of a thumpier sound. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this genre, I feel like getting that punch of the kick, that nice loud transient, helps it really read. Like this has a closer look to a punchy kick, but even here it's loud, decreases, it gets louder afterwards. So this also, it's getting closer, but I think even this can be shaped to be a punchier kick. So one way to do that is you can literally take that, force it like that, maybe not take off that much tail, but you can kind of reduce the decay here or make it decay quicker to kind of force it into that play button shape to kind of create that punchy feeling. Because if you have a sub that sort of like increases in volume and then kind of the amplitude is changing over time here, it doesn't feel like a clean kick. It becomes more of a thuddy organic feeling when you have a amplitude of the sub that changes over time. Versus when you have a really clean kick like this, that's like a very clean decay here. That's kind of a typical EDM, clean, punchy kick that we're really used to, right? So
would you recommend just doing that with fades?
I think I kind of like the length. So let's do a little bit of fade, and let's also play with some glue compressor on this as well. And we're going to just do a slow attack on here with the glue compressor, and we're going to let some of that transient through. So we're also going to grab this Nexoscope as well.
I just downloaded that the other day. I was watching the mastering class.
Yeah, it's great, because I can see what I'm doing to my kick with the compression, which is often what we were missing, is visually seeing what the compressor is doing. So the attack here, let's open this baby up, and then let's turn it off first. That's our kick. Looks just like the waveform. Let's solo this. Let's turn this on. And then slow attack here, pulling this back. Cool. Let's slow the attack down even more. It's going to quiet the whole thing, but you can see how it's sort of forcing more of the loudness to be in the front of the kick. And then that way the punchiness, the transient is the loudest part of the whole kick here. So let's bring it back down. You really see how the transient's being high. You can almost hear the tap of the kick is significantly louder here. And then now what you would do after you shape the kick to be how you like it to look, then you would take this guy, just crank it up here. So you can hear how this, the punch of that is much more highlighted compared to that.
Next, Richard talked about how to handle buildup in the 200 to 400 hertz range, which is where a lot of instruments have frequencies and mixes will often become muddy.
It's that low, this kind of is in there. So this is one thing we want to check. Okay, there's also a synth thing in here as well. That's cool. This is really cool.
Thank you.
This guy too. All right, sweet. Cool. So there seems to be a slight buildup with this and this in the low mids here. So I would maybe go into here and pull those back just a hair. Let's highlight that.
So the piano?
Yeah, maybe that piano mostly. In the 200 to 400 range, these two both kind of have a little bit of buildup when they add together. So just go in there with an EQ, pull those guys back a little bit. And I think that will handle that in the mix level a little bit better versus doing that on a master. Okay. But you can even take it like an ozone. You have ozone 8, is that right?
I do.
Okay. I don't know if I have ozone 8. I think that's 7. But let's just take an EQ. Or you probably have the dynamic on ozone as well. But you can take the dynamic EQ here and throw that on here. And then find the 200 to 500 zone. And then just pull that guy back. And it'll sort of push it down in a pretty transparent way. Cool, great. And then even on that piano, we could probably pull back a little bit here.
So I think both of those are high passed. Would it be better to just bring the high pass up to a higher frequency and just cut it entirely, or you?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily a high pass is going to help, because it's going to make it maybe sound too hollow. If you do something like this and you pull it up too high with a hard cut, it's going to kind of shave off all of the body. But I think a more gentle way to do that is either using a dynamic EQ like this or taking a slight low pass like this and then lowering some of the body here. So that way you're not just completely cutting it out here. So for example, this piano, the main buildup is right here. Just taking this, rolling some of that off. So that way you're not just straight up hard cutting and trying to shave it off like this, because this is one way to get loose all of the body of the actual piano when we need some of that warmth down there. So a slight low pass here, or sorry, high pass, and then bringing it down to kind of shave it off is a more gentle way to do it. So we'll do that for now.
And you're just
what?
You're just hearing that in the drop.
Yeah, especially the drop. When I pull up Voxengo Span, especially, there's kind of this big like buildup right here. I generally like to clear that out.
What are you seeing that's telling you there's a buildup?
When I play this out here. I like to generally see a little bit less information in the low mids here. So especially right above the sub. When you have a big EDM track, a lot of EDM music, you have a little dip right here, which is good. But I like to have a little bit less of the low mid information. It's pretty flat across the board, which is a good thing. You have a pretty good balance here in the whole mix. But in the low mids right here, you kind of see how some of these peaks here overtake the actual sub. So pulling that back generally will clean up the mix a little bit.
Next, we talked about a little bit of lingering harshness in my mix, and he recommended two plugins in particular.
Great. Do you have Soothe at all? Soothe 2?
I do not. I played around with the demo version of it, and you recommend it?
Soothe 2 is a great plugin to have. I think it's like one of those new school, really high value AI plugins that are out these days that save you lots of time. And I think it would really help with your harshness inside of your drops, because there are some moments where your vocal sings on top of your synths, and there's kind of a buildup on 3 to 5K with the harshness. Especially certain tones in her voice. For example, right there, there's kind of a part that like it just kind of feels a bit piercing when you hear it loud. So moments like that, Soothe 2, it makes it real easy because you just throw it on there and it does all the work for you. It just saves a lot of time, which is why I love it. And
putting that right on the master as opposed to.
I would do this in the master chain. I wouldn't do this before after the limiter. So in this case, I wouldn't do it with a limited track. I would do this in the master chain. If I'm noticing harshness, then I just put the soothe before the final limiter.
Okay.
So I use this whenever I'm saturating my mix in the pre-master and kind of like getting the mix to sound full. Usually the bright and harsh frequencies get enhanced too. So soothe 2 is a great way to use AI to help you just kind of pull that back. You can do this with like a regular EQ or dynamic EQ and like scan through the whole frequency and find those points yourself, pull those babies back. You can do that, but it takes a lot longer. It's also not as dynamic as soothe 2 because soothe 2 like will listen for any buildup. And you can see it moving around and catching those buildups and pulling it back out of the mix. So, okay. I definitely recommend Soothe 2 as a like a new school like AI plugin, like high value plugin. Also, Gullfoss is another one that I've been playing around with. Gullfoss is kind of like Soothe 2, but it also listens for imbalances in your mix and sort of corrects it as it goes. I just tried a demo like the previous couple weeks and I freaking love it. So I'm going to buy it.
How do you spell it?
Gullfoss is G-U-L-L and F-O-S-S.
Okay.
Those two are like magic plugins. There's a very few plugins that I recommend that are like because a lot of plugins you can get done with Ableton stuff, but those two plugins in particular are like magic plugins. They're crazy old. Go ahead.
Gullfoss, you said that does what Soothe does, but would you recommend it instead of Soothe? Because I tried the demo for Soothe already, but I haven't tried Gullfoss, so I might be able to grab that, use the demo version to finish this track and then purchase it later.
Yeah, Gullfoss doesn't do what Soothe does as okay. well, but it also does what Soothe can't do. So what I mean by that is Gullfoss will also enhance frequencies that you're missing in your track. So it does two things. Gullfoss is going to pull back buildups as well as unmask masked frequencies.
Master again?
Yes, that's right. So Gullfoss, my trial's up. Otherwise, I would show you.
We wound up coming back to the kick, but specifically the kick as the drop hits.
So like when you have a kick here, because the first instance of that kick, we were talking about punchiness. You want that first hit to be very loud when your drop hits here. And you kind of hear, look at when you scroll in, it's the loudest part of the kick is not until later on. So what we want to do ideally, I would not do this on the master, but we want that first initial drop hit to be the loudest part of the mix here. So you can see how it comes in like a wall of sound versus a slight increase of volume.
Huh, okay.
So yeah, we really want to restore those transients in that kick because that's the first thing that people hear. And they want that to be a big blow up of sound.
Yeah, it was a little soft when I first had it. So I actually added a impact sound, but actually, if you scroll up, you'll probably see one of them has, there's an impact that also hits right there.
I see.
But maybe that's not, I was trying to do exactly what you're describing, but editing the transient like you did, is that a better way to go about it?
Yes. I think lose this impact because this is going to, yeah. So this, especially on a drop, if you think about a drop, it's packed out with a lot of frequency information already, especially with your kick and your sub already being down there. The impact is going to be directly competing with those elements. So if you want more low end or more transient response, play with the kick transient or turn up your sub if you want more low end instead of layering an impact in your drop. Because the drop is already so busy and an impact is a pretty large frequency response kind of element as well. This is really great for getting out of a drop, but not going into a drop for that reason. And this happens to be a pretty like horizontal element too, where it's a very long element where we want to clean stuff up for the kick. So I would lose this and then we want to enhance the transient instead on your kick, which we've done a little bit already. So yeah, one way that you can also enhance the transient as well, you can do the fade trick. You can also do this trick here. You can do the glue compressor, or you can take the volume of this very beginning part right here, what's supposed to be the transient, and just turn this baby all the way up here. So that way you're making the transient effectively way louder. That might be too loud there. Pull that back. And then you want to connect the dots by just fading here. And now, there's something happening here. Cool. So you can kind of hear how I'm forcing the transient to be louder here. Let's actually fade the other way. This here, boom, and turn this guy up here. So effectively, we're turning up the transient by just turning up the volume in the very, very beginning.
And just on that first one to make sure it's a nice crisp transition.
Yeah, that's right. So you can just get that first hit to be a bit louder. Or if you want to enhance all the transients, you can just take all of this kick right here and duplicate that into the other kicks as well. But the transient is literally just that instance of volume at the beginning of the kick. You just turn that baby up by just clipping it out and then turning it up. You can kind of create more of a punch that way. So all these techniques are going to help the punch of a kick. So turning up the transient using glute compressor, slow attack, or just fading it to kind of help transient seem like it's louder. Those impacts, definitely, I think, pull that out and just get that kick sounding like thicker in the mix.
Okay.
Next, he talks about the importance of getting the kick and the sub to work well together. And even though I was using a side chain on my sub to make sure the kick punches through, he goes in and manually adds fades. And he explains his reasoning in the next segment.
Cool, great. Another thing to do once you are like happy with how your sub and kick are feeling here is to really help that transient cut through, I would cut the sub and just kind of fade out each one like that. Just give your kick a little bit of space here. So the transient is totally unhindered. So it's just transient and it goes straight into the sub. So even though your sidechain is working, one last thing I do is always going to be going in here and just doing a tiny fade here and also a tiny fade in the previous clip, because this will cause a little click here when it jumps from something to zero. So it has to go back to zero crossing here. So a little bit of a fade on that previous clip to help bring it back will prevent a clip there or a clicking sound.
Comes in, would it be better to just adjust it in LFO tool instead of going through and manually creating all of those fades?
I find that with any sidechain, it's always going to let through a little bit of volume. So once you print it down, you can really see if your LFO tool or whatever sidechain you're using is really doing a good job at ducking the volume completely. I usually find that it never ducks it 100% or it lets a little bleed through. So sometimes the attack is will kind of let a little bit of sub through here. So I like to keep my sidechain to get like the dirty mix 80% there. And then once I render it down for phase three of mixing, I always will go through. And this is the tedious part. We'll literally go through. Usually I'll just do like one drop. I'll go through, chop it all, make sure to give a little bit of space for each transient and then copy paste the drop over to the second drop. Okay. So by section, I do it and just copy the section over to the second half. And that's usually a faster way to do it. But I always go through, even with the, I don't trust my sidechains ever. I render down my sub. I look at the actual information and then I will do my own manual cuts, because usually it will have a little volume here. Like when you're, what you don't want is your transient to hit and you still have some sub info happening, right? The ideal situation is your transient hits, but the kick, it rides by itself and then the sub swells up after the kick. The sidechain is just to help you kind of get close. And then I always do it by fades to just ensure that the transition feels perfect.
When I did my initial mix on this track, I was very much focused on ensuring that the kick punched through the main instrumental pieces, but I didn't sidechain everything. I didn't want too much pumping. I was a little bit too gentle with it. And Richard, as he's listening to this and we talk through it, we came to a surprising realization.
Because hi-hat loops, if you have a hi-hat that layers on some kicks but not on other kicks, the hi-hat effectively acts as a transient booster for certain kicks. So you want your kick and your snare to sound consistent throughout your drop. So any kind of perk loop that stacks transients with those elements, generally a little bit of a sidechain to duck them in the mix is always a good idea.
So should I just put all of the instrumentals in a group and sidechain everything except for the vocal? Is there anything I wouldn't want to sidechain?
I think I would sidechain everything, especially this kind of track in EDM, like when the kick is such the heartbeat of the track. I would sidechain basically everything to your kick and not your snare, just your kick.
Okay.
Yep. And I think you'll find that will really clear up a lot of stuff here.
Except the vocals.
Not the vocals, yeah. I have been hearing, like, you can even play with a slight sidechain with the vocal, like not turn it up way high, but a little bit of pumping with the vocal, where you duck the vocal a little bit with the kick, I've heard is a good thing. I saw Disclosure do that on a stream, so I was like, oh, maybe you can do that. So you can play with that if you want to. But yeah, that kick, you really want that kick to read. If your kick is popping off, like, and it feels great by itself, then the rest of the track is going to ride behind it. But I think right now the sidechains are too gentle in the mix overall.
The last thing we talked about was the difference between the glue compressor and the drum bus in Ableton Live and when you would use each of those.
Do you prefer glue compressor to process your transients on your kicks as opposed to drum bus?
So drum bus is going to be compressor plus saturator. It's a lot of stuff built in one, which will dramatically change your kick. If you were sound designing and really trying to transform your kick, then drum bus is going to be your go-to. Whereas glue compressor is simply a volume control device where I'm shaping the volume of your kick to focus more on the transient. Drum bus, like, it'll change it dramatically. The second you throw this on, it sounds like a totally different kick. It's way louder, which could be a good thing if you are like trying to transform a kick early on in phase one into a kick that you need. But this far,
definitely not now.
Yeah, this far along, unless you want to completely swap out your kick for a different sound, then drum bus could be what you need. But I usually don't recommend drum bus as like a late game kind of thing because it's such a dramatic plug-in, right? It's like throwing sausage fattener on your whole group at the end of your mix when it's going to completely change your mix. And you're like, well, it's useful early on when you're trying to do that early on. Whereas glue compressor is simply a volume control thing. So all it's doing to your kick is just like pulling back the tails of your kick a little bit.
So that was the gist of the session. Here are my key takeaways. Focus on the kick, especially that first kick in the drop. If it's not punching through, try editing the audio and manually making the kick's transient louder. You could also try layering a click sound or something else to increase that transient, or try using the glue compressor or the drum bus earlier in the process to make the kick a little punchier. Also, don't trust your sidechains. Realize that in your mixdown, you may want to manually create space for your kick by fading the sub around it if the sidechain didn't fully clear the sub notes. Also, if you're producing EDM, think about sidechaining everything, maybe even the vocal a little. During the session, Richard recommended several plugins, including Soothe 2 and Gulfos, which he called his magic plugins. We're both hoping for some Black Friday sales. And he also used two free plugins, Smexoscope and Voxango Span, despite having high-end Isotope products available. I'll link everything in the show notes, including Richard's pages and my vocalist, Sandra Bullitt. Just head over to producerlifepodcast.com and look for episode 42. I can't wait to share this track with you all, but for now, I hope you learned as much as I did. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with a friend, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. Until next week, this is the House Ninja reminding you to be someone's hero today.